This is a recording of ISIS International from the Commission on the Status of Women, held in New York in March 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Technologies, but I'm actually going to keep a lot of my remarks really brief because I realize a lot of people, especially people from all over the world, come to the new technology table with lots of experiences, lots of hopes, dreams, and fears. And so I'm going to kind of cede most of my time to what your questions are based on kind of the broad overview. So one of the most powerful parts of doing any kind of social change has actually not changed at all for thousands of years, and that's the power of storytelling, right? We saw this very remarkably with the power of video. Our stories matter. And what we have with in the advent of social technologies is the ability to tell our stories. So the hierarchy of information is changing. So in a traditional kind of communication sense, in order to work with media and getting messages out and to communicate with people, we had to think of things in a very kind of top-down way. At the top, there are gatekeepers who kind of decide everyone's fate, and at the bottom, there are all of us, pushing and organizing and doing our thing. In that sense, it was very, very important to try and access the largest media models and the largest, through broadcast, through radio, through print, in order to reach a wide, wide, wide swath of people, in order that maybe a portion of those people will become engaged in the issue that we care about. What social technologies do with things like Twitter, Facebook, other technologies, is give us a chance to kind of subvert that entire paradigm. So it's no longer as important to, in this system particularly, to think about who hierarchically are the most important or who have the most followers. It's much more important to think about who engaging in relationships with people that actually care about that. We can engage laterally with one another, and the importance of networking with one another cannot be understated. So, in that sense, one of the things that happens when we're out there participating in social networks and when we're out there sharing our experiences is, in many ways, we're able to subvert the kind of cultural consciousness away from a lot of the apathy and isolation, especially here in the U.S., that we've experienced around mass media. When we connect with other people, when we share our stories, we create trust and we create empathy. And both of those things are absolutely, completely fundamental to any kind of social movement. Again, that hasn't changed. It's just that it's much, much easier now to connect with like-minded people. One of the things that, a couple of things to be aware of, that, and as much in my book as I'm very, very hopeful about the future of social technologies to be able to completely deconstruct society as we know it. That's just my personal dream, whatever. just saying. We also have to go in with eyes wide open. Technology is not a magic bullet. It won't solve anyone's problems. We will solve our problems, but we will use technology to solve our problems. So some of the things that I want to keep in mind as we're getting into some of the meat of this here is that there's a real danger right now on the internet to replicate bias and exclusion online. There's a great researcher, her name is Dana Boyd, and she gave this amazing presentation that showed how people self-segregate online, and people tend to hang out with other people who are like them. And we need to be aware of the fact that when we're going into social networks to do our work, and to perhaps interview people or to find interview subjects or to communicate stories that we're creating, we can't just go one place and hope that everyone's there. We need to be doing active outreach into finding other people who are not like us. Diversity is key, not just in the sense of yay, it's nice to have lots of different kind of people all in one place together. But diversity is absolutely key in the sense of, if you think of it like DNA, you know, if you get a bunch of the same genes mixing around the gene pool for long enough, the species kind of mutates poorly and dies off. That's really bad, right? Don't want that happening. It's very, very similar with idea generation. We need lots of different kinds of voices and lots of different kinds of people in these social networks participating. This is the thing that I fear most, especially when it comes to women. A lot of women have a lot of apprehension around new technologies. They've been told that the internet is a dangerous place, or that it's you know, confusing, or it's too hard to learn. If you're not in there participating, if you're not in there sharing your stories, your experience, and what you bring to the table, other people are having these conversations online. They are, and who is driving policy are often the people who are having the conversation. So if you're not showing up, your experience isn't being taken into account as people are having these conversations. Can't stress enough how important it is for women to get on board with that, and to recognize the fact that, you know, there are these kind of barriers, and hopefully, and if anybody has, you know, those kinds of fear or apprehension or whatever, feel free to ask me anything, and I'm more than happy to address that. The other thing is, in a global context, you know, what we saw last year in Iran and people calling it the Twitter revolution was pretty dangerous, actually, and pretty false in a lot of ways. And that's kind of the one case study that I want to talk about here, because when we look at what happened in Iran, it wasn't that necessarily activists within Iran were using Twitter or other social networking tools to do their organizing and activism. It's that people, it was a tool for people outside of Iran to have access or to spread the word about what was happening there. Largely inside Iran during that time, the cell phone networks had been shut down, a lot of internet access had been shut down, and all of those tactics were largely based around very old school organizing, very, you know, pounding the pavement kind of stuff. That stuff will never go away, and technology should only be viewed as a complement when it makes sense. In the case of repressive regimes throughout the world, they have the ability to shut this stuff down pretty quickly. And the dangerous part of it that I want to bring up is that a lot of people who do the work that I do, I consult with a number of progressive media and advocacy organizations. Just people like me kind of tend to live in a little bubble and think, you know, wow, this is great. Twitter saved everybody. That's awesome, you know, and it's just not true. The problem with that is that other people in other parts of the world who are also experiencing oppression and, you know, all kinds of terrible things and their dictatorships and whatever can start to believe, like, oh, they did that in Iran with Twitter. We can do that too, and, you know, our lives will be saved. And that's largely not true, at least not yet. So that's just something I wanted to kind of keep in mind as we think about what's possible. The last thing I want to say in a sort of larger media context is to talk quickly about mobile technologies. Two things about mobile stuff. First of all, mobile is often held up as the thing that will bridge the digital divide when ultimately there are multiple digital divides that we need to account for, and mobile doesn't necessarily cross all of them. So while, you know, it's important to think about, you know, getting cool stuff on your cell phone, it might not solve all your problems, just saying. The other thing to account for is that if you're a content producer of any kind, the one thing that you need to know is that producing mobile-friendly content is really, really important. Can't stress enough how important it is to be able to serve up your stories, especially if you're in radio and in television and doing video and podcasting, to make sure that whatever services you're using to get your content out there are producing mobile-friendly results. So ultimately, just to kind of sum up, I need you all in there. I need you all participating in this stuff. And we need our stories to be told together. So I'm going to cede the rest of my time and wait for questions at the end.
Thank you.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.